but then I stopped. "I actually don't know how to dance," I told him. I'd never done this before. Taking my waist, he pulled me in, and I gasped, my arms instinctively wrapped around his neck.
"Put your feet on mine," he said.
Without argument, I stepped up on his shoes and my pink heels, happy to just hold on. Tipping my head back, I looked up at him as he held me close and started moving, turning in a slow circle and buck stepping small enough for me to easily follow.
"You look beautiful," he said, "despite that nasty spill you took down the rocks at Cold Point."
He touched my face, thankfully only seeing the costume. People watched us, but I didn't care what they thought. I couldn't take my eyes off him, the slow, haunting tune playing just for us. "Reverie Cross," I mused. "She sounds like someone who had her own bathroom."
"No," he shook his head. "She was actually not well off, and she was okay with that, because he loved her anyway. Nothing else mattered to him."
I tightened my arms around him, feeling my knees shake a little. They were young, and I understood it. In that moment, everything prevailed and nothing else mattered. Why not let them have the dream? But Will pinched his eyebrows together, studying me.
"Something's wrong."
I shook my head. "Not tonight, there's not. Just one night. And if it was just going to be one, I didn't want to share him with anyone else. Can we leave?" I asked suddenly. He stopped dancing.
"You want me to take you home?"
"Not unless you want to," I replied, still holding on to him. "I don't want to leave you yet." He smiled, taking my hand as I stepped off his shoes.
"Let's go," he said.
He pulled me from the dance floor, the people and the noise, and every care I've ever had left behind as excitement heated my veins. "Have you decided what you're doing for your Devil's Night prank tomorrow?" I asked as he pushed through the doors. But he just smirked.
"I have ideas."
"I have one too," I told him.
"Are you sure about this?" he asked as we dumped our goods all over the grass. "Technically, it's theft. A lot of theft. And vandalism."
"I'm shaking in my boots, Will." "Really?" I set out the candles in a vigil on the step leading into the crypt, keeping my eyes peeled for the caretaker who lived on the grounds. No one was supposed to be in here after dark, but that didn't mean someone wasn't strolling around. And it wasn't like it was irreparable vandalism anyway. I had nothing against the McClanahans. I just wanted to freak them out a little so they'd rethink their agenda. Will and I had the same goal, albeit for different reasons. The grave had become a local legend. In Will's mind, Edward McClanahan belonged to everyone. In my mind, if he stayed in his grave, my brother would be shit out of luck on buying it. Will moved around the wrought iron fence surrounding the crypt, fitting all the scarecrows we stole from Mr. Gans's Halloween yard display and the basketballs we also stole from the supply closet onto each head. I stared at the McClanahan tomb, its dark stained glass windows and smooth new stone, unmarred and clean. Brand new and ready for use. "He shouldn't be moved, right?" I asked, making sure we were still on the same page.
"Right."
After we'd left the dance, I sent him to the gym while I raced to the bio lab and stole all the dead animals floating in jars full of formaldehyde. I put them on a cart, wheeled them to a window, and Will drove up with his truck and helped me load. After making a couple of more stops, we were here, ready to show the McClanahans what would happen if they moved Edward. The vigil would follow him, year after year, unfailing and complete with a Children of the Corn vibe. If they didn't want their final resting place to become a pilgrimage for messy, destructive, sexually active teens, they'd change their minds. I took one more look around the cemetery, making sure we were alone as I lit the candles. Only the shadows of the trees on the grass, blue in the moonlight, moved as the breeze shook the leaves free of their branches. I half expected Will to try to take out his phone to film this, but thankfully he didn't. I didn't want to wind up on one of his videos. Adding the dead animal offerings, I checked to see that Will had finished the scarecrows, complete with basketball heads and scary faces drawn in Sharpie with forbidding eyebrows and teeth. I laughed and rolled my eyes, hearing him snort at his own cleverness as he moved around the fence. I stuck in the tiki torches from Will's garage around the crypt, lighting them, and then fished some light green chalk out of one of the bags that I'd grabbed from Biolab. Running inside the fence, I raised the chalk to the stone, about to start the vandalism part, but I looked up at the stained glass windows once more, hesitating. "It is empty," I said again. "Right?" I didn't feel bad about the vandalism or petty theft, but I would if people were laid to rest in there right now. But he just shook his head.
"They just finished it. No tenants yet."
I nodded, squeezing the chalk.
"Go to hell then, Martin."
Hurrying, I drew triple X's all over the wall, reading in one of my coffee table books about a ritual where you draw the symbols on a tomb, making a wish. If the dead grant it, you have to come back and leave an offering and circle the X's. It was washable, and the tomb would be good as new when they cleaned it, but if the spark caught fire with the public, they'd be continually cleaning this tomb for a century. Will grabbed a blue piece and helped, both of us smiling and rushing, because it would be no good if we got caught, especially me. And he knew it. I grabbed the bag off the grass that I used to haul the candles, and we backed away, staring at the McClanahan's newest nightmare.
"Hey!"
someone yelled. I sucked in a breath.
"Oh, shit!"
Will grabbed my hand and pulled me, running down the slope. I looked behind me, seeing a man in a khaki uniform jogging after us. "Oh, my God!" I squealed, laughing, as Will dragged me through the trees, around a tomb, and past the fountain. I dug in my heels, trying to keep up as the cold air whipped across my face. Will yanked me behind a massive headstone, and we hid, Will peering around the corner to see if we'd made it. He'd left the truck parked just on the other side of the tree line, otherwise anyone would have known his vehicle. It was a pain in the ass, dragging all that stuff in three trips, but man, that was worth it. I hugged his arm, still shaking with laughter. He turned, smiling as he gazed into my eyes.
"I love seeing you laugh."
I dipped my forehead to his, my body filled with excitement and more freedom than I'd ever felt in my whole life. "More," I begged. He took my hand in his, caressing my jaw.
"Yeah, I have just the place."
An hour later, I laughed, squeezing his hand and feeling that drop in my stomach as the pirate ship swayed back and forth. "Shit," I squealed, butterflies swarming my stomach as the ride slowed, the tires screeching against the bottom as we went up, caught air for a split second, and then fell back down, the wind blowing through my hair. Why the hell didn't I come here more often? How many people could have roller coasters in their lives every day? It was kind of pricey, I guess. The cost for a ticket kept getting more and more expensive as Adventure Cove struggled to stay open over the years. The bars came up, and Will and I climbed out, laughing down the steps.
"It's my favorite ride," he said. "Nothing quite like the sensation of free-falling."
Nope. It was better than the best roller coaster. I looked up at Will, seeing him pull cash out of his wallet and then take a stick of pink cotton candy, handing it to me as he took his change.
"You want my jacket?"
he asked as we started to walk again. I picked off some of the fluffy sugar. "I'm okay." I stuck the candy in my mouth, honestly a little chilly, but I was loving the wind too much. I was like my grandmother that way. We walked, the sounds of the park raging around us, screams and coaster tracks and bells ringing from the game booths. The sea air wafted through my nostrils, and I looked past the Ferris wheel, deep into the dark where I couldn't see it, but I knew it was there. The coast and the ocean and Cold Point, the edge that dropped off onto the rocks and into the sea. Will leaned over and picked off some candy, and I did the same, warming when his arm brushed mine. His other hand rested on the small of my back, and I felt his eyes on me. "Have you ever heard of the Carfax Room?" I asked, picking off more candy and eating it.
"Sure," he said. "It's like Edward McClanahan and Black Church in Evernight, another Thunder Bay urban legend."
I turned my head, looking up at him. "What's Black Church?"
"A house," he shrugged, "supposedly."
We paused, eating more, and we passed game booths where a few people played. The park wasn't too crowded tonight, some middle schoolers making it louder than normal. He continued,
"No one knows where it is, if it's even real, but stories abound of rich young men who can't behave, being ferried away there to be hidden."
He'd hesitated, like he couldn't think of a better word. "Hidden?" I pressed. He laughed under his breath.
"Well, we can't be arrested," he pointed out, as if I should have known. "It looks bad for the family, you know? So moms and dads will send you to Black Church if you become too uncontrollable. You just disappear, overnight. Legend has it that it's remote, secluded, and wild. I realized I'd nearly stopped walking as I stared at him. And you get sent there forever?
Until we learn to behave, he said. But for some it has the opposite effect. They go feral. So, yes, they would stay there forever.
I gaped at him. Who does that? Who sends their kid away because they're afraid of publicity? Were they getting help while they were away, or were they just marooned and abandoned? He looked at me and started laughing.
It's not real, Em. Just bullshit people like to spew because we're bored.
He took some more candy, sticking it into his mouth.
And if it did exist, my parents would never send me there. Everyone loves me.
I shot him a look. He was too self-aware, but came off adorable.
But the Carfax room, he continued. I can see that being true.
What is it?
It's a fabled hidden room somewhere in town, he told me, which is entirely plausible since this town has lots of hiding places. It's like a panic room, from what I understand. It's passed from one person to the next, each occupant searching for the next who has need of such a place. There are no limits on how long you can have it. Just pay it forward when you're done, or something like that.
Now the note made a little more sense. A panic room. Someone who needs it. Use it. Pass it on. But someone gave it to me. Out of everyone in town, someone gave it to me. I opened my mouth, tempted to tell Will I had found it. But I wasn't sure I wanted anyone to know I had it. So it's like the Room of Requirement from Harry Potter.
No idea what you're talking about, he replied. But if it does exist, each occupant must be carefully chosen, and the place must command a lot of respect.
Why do you say that?
Because we would have found it by now.
He looked down at me.
If it is real, the location would have been divulged at some point over all the years. Don't you think? Whoever it's being passed on to must need it for more than just keg parties or...
I caught his eyes. Or hookups. He didn't finish saying. That's true. Whoever had it before me kept it quiet, and they trusted me, for some reason, to do the same. I took another bite of cotton candy, but noticed Will still looking down at me. He stared at my arm, pensive.
Doesn't seem like makeup, he mused,
reaching out to touch the bruise. I pulled away, but flashed him a playful smile for good measure. Take me on another ride? I rushed to change the subject. Something dark. He broke into a grin and took my hand, the bruise forgotten, and pulled us back around, leading me toward the back of the park. I tossed the rest of the cotton candy into the trash and followed him past the boat races and the gravitron, bells and whistles echoing in the night, and middle school kids racing up and down the walkways. Heading up to Cold Hill, the ghost train, Will nodded at the blonde guy running the ride, the man opening the gate and signaling the next person in line to wait. My cheeks warmed in embarrassment at cutting others in line. We could have waited our turn, but I kept my mouth shut, glancing up at Will. I'd never liked Cold Hill, because it was dark, creepy, and you were confined indoors in a car that only allowed one vehicle per section. So by the time you pushed through the doors and entered the next theme, the car ahead of you on the track was gone. Not typically a big deal, unless you were alone. Then it was scary. Right now, though, I didn't want to be anywhere else with him. Maybe his connection would even let us go around twice. Or more. Walking past the candelabras flickering their lights, we stepped onto the moving walkway and into an empty car, settling in as the bar came down on our laps. Leaving the last of the light behind, we traveled down the track and around a corner, the darkness and cold hitting me as I glanced side to side. Groans and howls filled the air as the wall to my right shook, a red light shining between the panels of wood like someone was banging against it from the other side. Then a shot of air blasted us as smoke drifted around and the sound of chains being wound cranked above us. The hair on my arms stood on end, and I huddled closer to Will, keeping my eyes peeled. We traveled through hell, the underworld, and Hades, masks and mirrors flashing their terror on the walls while skeletons and beasts jumped out at us. I laughed, squeezing his hand and gazing up at the chandelier above us. Its faux candles cast a soft light against the black ceiling, changing the darkness from frightening to mysterious in a way that made me want to live in its beauty. I almost snickered at myself, but it was true. Will was right.
Something changed in the air when nightfall came, but the allure for me was in the glow that softened the shadows. It was more beautiful than the sun. A lantern, a candle, an idea occurred to me about the gazebo and the trees around it in the park, decorating them with chandeliers. A dozen chandeliers hanging in the branches above, lighting up the canopy of leaves. I smiled again, tipping my head back and gazing at all the lights glimmering across the crystals above me, suddenly excited to get back to work. I could do it. There had to be lots of old chandeliers collecting dust somewhere. I'd bet I could find them cheap and get it done. I looked over at Will to tell him my idea, but he was already staring at me. He gazed down with an entranced look in his eyes, like he'd just been watching something so interesting as he stared at me. Something swelled in my chest, and all of a sudden, I could barely catch my breath as the chandeliers were forgotten. Red lights flashed across his face and then dimmed, his eyes barely visible, and then lighting up again, still watching me. God, I just wanted to wrap myself around him and never let go. Screams and screeches went off around us, and my fingers tightened more inside his as I hovered over his mouth, letting my eyes fall closed. Will, I breathed out, the torture of the centimeters between us making my blood race. I took his hand and guided it under the bar as I tugged my dress up and slid his fingers up the inside of my leg. He exhaled hard, his nails immediately digging into my skin. I sucked in an excited breath, my clit throbbing, and I wanted him to keep going. Opening my eyes, I held his stare as he slid deeper between my thighs, and I grew warm and wet the farther up he drifted. A werewolf caricature jumped out of the wall on the other side of Will, and I gasped, every inch of my skin on fire. His fingers peeled my panties away from my skin and dipped inside the fabric as I reached behind my back and unzipped the dress. I glided a hand around the back of his neck, leaning in and whispering again, "Will." The doors in front of us opened, the room going dark again, and we entered Davy Jones's locker. As I held his eyes and slowly peeled down the top half of my dress for him. Yes, I couldn't stop. I didn't want to. Cool air tickled my bare breasts, making the skin of my nipples tighten and harden as his gaze fell and his lungs caved. I loved his eyes on me. I didn't know if he liked what he saw, but I didn't care about anything right now. I knew this was over before it even started. I knew he'd lose interest eventually. I just wanted tonight. He dove in, grazing my lips with his, but not kissing, as I propped up my foot on the front of the car, arching my back and opening myself for him. He rubbed me, soft and slow, between my thighs, teasing again and again as he worked his fingers inside to my clit. Reaching around with his other hand, he covered my breast with his palm, kneading and gently squeezing, as his hot breath fell across my lips. He tickled my clit, and I moaned, pleasure sweeping through me and fire pooling between my legs. I needed more. I needed everything. He slid a finger farther down, teasing my entrance, but I grabbed his hand through my dress, stopping him. He tensed, his brow knit in pain.
Emmy.
Not your fingers, I whispered. You. I want you in me. He hissed, fisting the hand between my legs, and then he let out a painful groan. Taking both hands off me, he lifted the bars, but they wouldn't give. He grunted, lifting them. Fighting to free us now, and I leaned in, taking his face in my hands and kissing his cheek again and again.
Fuck,
he growled, jiggling the bar harder and faster so we could climb out. It was no use, though, and he attempted to try to slip out from underneath it, but he was too big. I laughed in his ear as I nibbled his lobe. Get us out, I begged. I want you, and I'm not going to say no tonight.
Shit,
he exclaimed. Fighting the bar again and growling desperately.
God damn it.
He grabbed me and kissed me, zipping up my dress as we devoured each other.
When we get off, we're hurrying to my truck, he breathed out, and then to my house.
I caught his bottom lip between my teeth, his warmth and taste too intoxicating to even open my eyes. Just to your truck, I whimpered. I can't wait. I need you in my hands, in my arms. The next set of doors opened, and light washed over us as we held each other.
I opened my eyes, seeing we'd reached the end as the rain had started again, falling hard outside as people ran. I pulled away from him, and when the bar lifted, we jumped out. He clasped my hand, and I ignored the attendant's eyes as I tried to right my dress again. It was all bunched up and twisted. Shit. Will led me off the ride, took off his jacket, and put it around me before pulling me in a sprint across the park. Rain fell on us, cold and hard, but I could still feel him on my mouth as the slickness between my legs grew warmer. I just wanted to be someplace small with him, feeling him and stretching the hours forever, and I didn't care where.
"Damn it," he blurted out, stopping us.
I halted, following his gaze out to the parking lot. Martin circled Will's truck with a flashlight, rain coming down on him in his black uniform as people scattered to leave. My heart sank. "My brother," I breathed out. I didn't bring my phone. How did he know I was here?
"What the hell?" Will cursed. "Why does everything want to stop us?"
"Find us a place," I pleaded. "Hurry." He grabbed the back of my neck, pressing his lips to my forehead, and then looked around. If Martin saw me with him, it would be over. I didn't care if it was in a game booth or in a tilt-a-whirl car. I needed him.
"Come on."
He pulled me out of the gates and off to the right. I threw a glance behind me, seeing Martin in the distance peering through the truck's back window, and I picked up the pace, racing with Will. He ran up to a yellow school bus, probably the one that brought the middle schoolers here for their mayhem till midnight, and punched the door with his fist, prying it open. I dove in first, and he followed, closing it behind him again. I threw his coat onto a seat and tried peering out the windows to gauge if Martin had seen us, but Will grabbed my arm and whipped me around. I crashed into his chest. He took me in his arms, and his mouth crashed down on mine. I moaned, opening my mouth for him and feeling his damn tongue all the way down between my legs. Dipping low, he lifted me by the backs of my thighs, and I winced at the pain in my body. But I didn't care. I wasn't stopping this. He carried me down the aisle, my legs wrapped around him. I took his face in my hands, tearing my lips away from his. "You have something?" I whispered. "Please tell me you have something." He smiled.
"Yeah."
I sank my mouth into his again, whimpering as I locked my ankles behind him. I trailed my mouth across his cheek, over his jaw, and down his neck as he gasped and squeezed my thighs.
"Ah, Em,"
he moaned. Reaching the back of the bus, the long bench seat in the last row looming underneath me, he dropped me to my feet and unzipped my dress, never leaving my mouth. He pulled down the top, the dress hanging at my waist, as his hands ran all over my naked back, and he kissed my neck, holding me to him.
"You're mine,"
he whispered in my ear. I tipped my head back, savoring his warmth on my throat and ignoring the sting as his hand brushed the cut on my brow. "For tonight," I retorted with a smile. He grabbed the back of my neck and covered my mouth, fierce and making me tingle to my toes. I worked the buttons on his shirt.
"I'll take care of you," he whispered. "You don't have to worry about anything."
I ripped off the shirt as he worked the buckle of his belt, and I nuzzled into him, letting my fingertips glide over his narrow waist and stomach. "I don't need you to take care of me," I said between kisses. "I just want right now with you. I don't want to think about all the tomorrows." He growled and pushed me. I fell down to the seat, gasping as the cool air lapped at my sensitive skin. He bared his teeth, yanking his belt open and unfastening his pants. My nerves fired as my eyes drifted up his bare chest, my entire body throbbing for him. Jesus, perfect golden skin, toned arms, tight stomach, gorgeous pecs, beautiful smile, soft, funny, and sweet. Was this mine? I clenched my thighs, but he scowled down at me, unhappy I wouldn't talk about the future. But it was kind of cute, because his eyes kept dropping to my breasts as he heaved with every breath. He couldn't stop any more than I could. Coming down on top of me, he grabbed my throat and pushed me down. I whimpered, arching my bare back and closing my eyes as he dipped down and sucked a nipple into his mouth. "Ah," I moaned. He pushed up my skirt and reached underneath, taking my underwear and tugging. The fabric screamed, tearing clear off my body, and I spread my legs wider, feeling his other hand still squeezing my neck.
"God, I want to knock you up,"
he said, rising up and looking down at me as he took out a condom.
"I want to ruin you for all the times you made me think you didn't want me. I want to give you a piece of me you'll never be able to escape."
His eyebrows were etched in anger, and for a moment, I wished he could. I'd love to have an excuse to drag him into my hellish life and keep him there forever. I shot up, looking up at him as I took the rubber, unwrapping it myself as I kissed his stomach. "Then pretend you are," I whispered. "Pretend you're going to knock me up, and we're going to do this every day." I tossed the wrapper, and reaching into his pants, fisting his cock as a shock coursed up my arm. He groaned at my touch and helped pull down his pants enough for me to pull him out. God, he felt so good, and my head swarmed as I looked down at his hard muscle and stroked the soft skin. "You're going to have me tomorrow," I rolled the rubber on, trailing kisses across his abs, "after school in your truck, against the stacks in the library at lunch, reverse cowgirl in your lap at the movie theater." He fisted my hair at the back of my head, his cock steel rod straight and reaching right for me.
"My sweet little secret," he murmured.
He breathed hard and pushed me back onto the seat, looking down into my eyes as he reached between us to guide himself. The thick head of his dick crowned my entrance, pushing inside just barely, and I shifted uncomfortably. "Well,
you'll be mine," he whispered, pressing himself deeper and deeper.
I groaned, stretching for him.
"You can ignore me. You can run,"
he said, grunting and tipping his head back as he closed his eyes.
"You can leave. You can hide."
He slid in, burying himself to the hilt and filling me so wide and deep that I cried out just once.
"But you're going to be fucking mine someday," he growled. "Come hell or high water, Emery Scott, you're my woman, and you're going to come home to me every day and sit at my table and warm my fucking bed."
He kissed me.
"And you're going to give me a Will Grayson the Fourth. Mark my words."
I whimpered, shifting under him and adjusting as he withdrew and sank back in faster and harder this time. "Oh, God," I moaned, the skin of my already sweaty back peeling off the seat as I arched it. He gripped my neck again, propping himself up with the other hand as he stared down at me and entered me over and over. I gripped his shoulders, the discomfort subsiding as the pleasure of stretching for him started to feel good. So good.
"You're gonna want it," he promised, squeezing my neck. "You're gonna beg for me and love me so much you can't stand it."
He picked up the pace, my breasts bobbing back and forth as he went harder, and my eyes rolled into the back of my head, his cock sliding in and out easily because I was so wet. I spread my legs as wide as they would go, reveling in how deep he went. "Yes, God, please, more," I begged. "Harder, Will." I held on to him, and he groaned, sucking in air as he rolled his hips into me and fucked me. God, I... Sweat seeped out of my pores, and I opened my eyes, gazing up at his beautiful face and the sheen on his chest, all for me. Reaching behind him, I slipped my hands inside his trousers, digging my nails into his ass and helping him come faster and harder.
"You're gonna want it."
"I already do."
"You're gonna beg for me and love me so much you can't stand it."
I gasped, feeling my orgasm crest and holding him as close as I could, but it was never enough. "Will, I..."
"Will, what?"
he pressed. But I squeezed my eyes shut, his head deep inside me, hitting my spot over and over. And I cried out as the orgasm flooded me, the world spun around me, and my body racked with euphoria and shivers. Fuck. Fuck, fuck, fuck. Oh, my God. I crashed back onto the seat, and he wiped the hair off my wet face, thrusting into me again and again.
"What?"
he asked again, wanting to know what I was going to say. But I opened my eyes, unable to remember what it was. I took his mouth with mine and hugged him close as he rode out his own orgasm, as tears hung at the corners of my eyes. He wanted to give me a piece of him I'd never escape, but he had a part of me I'd never get back. This would never be as good with anyone else. I was fucked. And he'd already had his revenge.
Chapter 19. Emery. Present. Three knocks hit the door and I popped my head up, slamming the drawer closed in my bedroom. I'd already been awake for 20 minutes, scouring the closet and drawers, but there were no clothes in here, and the temperature outside was dropping by the day. Walking to the door, I leaned my ear in. Who is it? The sun was just rising, although the clouds were brewing a storm. I thought I was the only one up this early.
It's Rory.
My heart stopped for a second, and I straightened, staring at the handle. What did he want?
Thought you needed a new shirt, he called out. And maybe some pants.
I glanced down at the boxer shorts and button-down I was swimming in, because Will had ripped all the buttons off of my other shirt last night. I still had pants, but I shouldn't turn down clothes. They were what I was on the hunt for right now, after all. I hesitated a moment and then pulled the chair away from the door and opened it. Rory stood there, a towel wrapped around his waist and hair disheveled with a stack of clothes in his fist. He stared at me, unblinking, and heat coursed under my skin, remembering last night and what went down in the drawing room. I'd been so angry after Will left, I'd thrown a vase, fixed my clothes, and stormed out of there. More aggravated that I wanted to go ask him to finish, and I almost did. Being with him was just as good as that night on the bus, and it took every last drop of pride to drag my ass into a cold shower before I stooped to begging him for sex. God, how I would have loved to never be reminded of how good he felt. I snatched the clothes from Rory.
Cut them if you want, he told me, gesturing to the black pants. They're probably too long for you.
Thanks. I stood there, forcing myself to make eye contact, and he made no move to leave as he watched me. The silence stretched between us.
I'm going to head into the steam room for a bit, and then Micah and I are going hunting today, he said, clearing his throat. We might take Will. I suggest you come with us or stay in here with the door secured.
It would only be Iden and Taylor in the house with me. Not ideal, but with less eyes I could explore. And siphon supplies, maybe. I'll stay, I replied. How long will you be gone?
Hours. He looked me up and down. If you need food, get it now.
I nodded, and he just kept standing there. His pale eyes had this midnight blue circle around the pupil that made his stare pierce and made the hair on my arms rise. I swallowed. So are you like a serial killer then?
He grinned. Are you afraid?
Are you going to tell me I shouldn't be? He shook his head.
No.
He walked away without elaborating, and I watched him for a moment before diving back into my room and shutting the door, securing the chair underneath the knob again. Ugh, I had felt something off about him, and while I still didn't feel like he was evil, he was definitely capable of a lot. He premeditated the murders of 7 people. It sounded like there was more to the story, but if he could do it once, he could do it again. Taylor was right about that. They were all here for a reason, and none of them were my friends. I slipped off the shirt and boxers I'd slept in and pulled on one of his white T-shirts before cutting his black pants at the knee and pulling them on, too. I rolled them at the waist so they wouldn't fall down and slid on my sneakers, double-knotting them. Cleaning my glasses, I slipped them on my face and ran a comb through my hair before brushing my teeth. I wasn't sure where the soaps, shampoos, and hygiene shit came from, but it was in here when I came into the room last night, still packaged and brand new. I wished whoever got me this stuff had cared to supply me with some underwear and another bra. As soon as Micah and Rory left later, I'd sneak into their room and steal a hoodie. Leaving the room, I looked around me, rain starting to hit the windows as the gray sky loomed outside, and I jogged down the stairs, heading into the kitchen. I had bread, cheese, a couple pieces of fruit, and some granola. I'd figure out how to get it out of the kitchen cabinet I had it stored in, but I also needed water. Approaching the kitchen, I peered inside, seeing it dark, lit only by the light over the stove as I headed around the island, toward the back door, and keeping my eyes peeled around me. I opened the cabinet and reached behind the stew pot, feeling the cheesecloth bundle still safe and sound. I smiled. Now for some water. I took an apple out of the basket on the counter and started eating it as I searched the cabinets for some kind of canteen or water bottle, finally finding some stainless steel tumblers with lids. I pulled one out and filled it, quickly storing it with the food. I'd test the waters in a bit and see if I could make it to the basement undetected with the bundle. I'd store it down there to grab if I needed to escape or hide. Slipping the bottle behind the pot, I hit the wall and paused. The apple pinched between my teeth. That was weird. I pawed the back panel, feeling that it completely covered the wall, and pulled my arm out, diving into the next cabinet to check its backing. Same thing. These cabinets weren't as deep as they should be. I closed both and stood up, putting my hands on my hips. The countertop was at least 6 inches less in width than the other countertop on the north wall where the stove was. Heading left, I opened up the kitchen door to the terrace and looked outside. The house extended at least 4 feet beyond the end of the wall of cupboards. The hair on the back of my neck stood up, and I couldn't hold back the smile that peeked out as realization dawned. Extra depth in the walls was required to allot space for wiring, plumbing, insulation, but not 4 feet. This house had passages. Holy shit, did they know? I closed the door and turned to the wall, behind which should be a secret tunnel and possibly stairs, leading up or down. Who knew where the passages went, but I wanted to find out. If they were clueless, it would be a good place to hide, and it was certainly one way that security could keep tabs on the people here without being detected. And now was the time to find out. Iden and Taylor might still be in bed. The others were on their way out to hunt soon. I backed up and turned in a circle, seeing the house like I hadn't before. What if the tunnels led off the grounds? To a crew housed closer to here than the guys thought? I could get away undetected. The possibilities were endless. I needed to explore. I passed the stove, sink, and the kitchen window, seeing the solarium next to the house. There was a garden shed on the other side of it. If it had tools, a screwdriver at least, I could pry panels open, assuming I couldn't find the trigger designed to open them in the first place. In movies, it was always a book that you'd tilt to get the door to open, but it was more often some kind of lock mechanism or lever. Damn it, how had I not seen this? Opening the back door again, I stepped outside and crossed the terrace, droplets wetting my legs and arms as I dashed across the stone for the greenhouse. Opening the door, I hurried inside and took off my glasses, cleaning the water off with my shirt. A wave of warmth instantly hit my chilled skin as I inhaled the scent of ferns, soil, and wood, the sudden increase in humidity blanketing me. I slipped my glasses back on and looked around, hearing the drops tap, tap, tap against the glass panels that made up the roof and walls, as well as a light classical tune coming from somewhere deeper in the greenhouse. I slowed, gazing all around at the ancient conservatory, the white paint of the metal window frames chipped and rusted. I stepped across the small white tiles, the grout black and filthy, and a spiral staircase leading to a catwalk that creaked when it thundered outside. The plant life was in beautiful form, though, green, thick, lush. Trees reached up to the roof, palms stretching wide as too many plants to name adorned the landscapes and beds around the walkway. This place was well-loved. Did the crew also tend to this when they came in? Seemed like pointless work when these little shits wouldn't give a damn. Water hit me from above, and I tipped my head back, seeing an open panel of glass, the rusty chain severed and dangling as rain poured in. That would need to be fixed soon. With the temperature dropping, it would be impossible to maintain the heat needed in here. I strolled through the greenhouse, zero clue what most of these plants were called, but it felt like another world. Not cold and dark, not dangerous, like Black Church. It was calm and decadent, like an island somewhere where the heat and scent got under your skin and into your head. Like waking up from a nightmare, or opening your eyes to presents and cake. I liked it. The music hit my ears again, and I looked ahead, spotted Iden, and stopped. He sat in a pair of black pants and a white t-shirt like me, but his was filthy with dirt smudges as he leaned over the plant bed and cut something.
His hair, usually slicked back, laid dry and haphazardly over his forehead and temples, and a light sheen of sweat covered his forearms. I stared at him, unable to move, because I couldn't remember why I'd come in here. But I knew it was a secret. I hadn't wanted to run into anyone. I thought he was still asleep. He glanced over, dropping whatever he'd cut into the bowl, and reached over, cutting some more. I shifted on my feet, ready to turn around. I couldn't go to the shed now. But instead, he called me over.
Come here.
I looked up at him again, seeing him concentrate on his task, and I walked over to his side, doing as he said. He picked a strawberry out of the bowl and handed it to me, leaves, stem, and all. I shot him a suspicious look, but I took it. He'd just cut it. It was probably fine. Sticking it between my teeth, I bit into the small thing, pressing the chunk between my tongue and the roof of my mouth, sucking on the juice. My mouth exploded, savoring the flavor. I nodded, swallowing and nibbling on the rest.
Good? He asked.
Yeah, it's sweet. It was surprising.
He agreed, returning to his work. Yes.
I looked at the remnants, knowing that real strawberries were this small. His tiny garden had tomatoes, basil, peppers, lettuce. I wouldn't think he'd be into this, but I guess now I knew who was taking care of the greenhouse. Strawberries used to be sweet when I was young, I said. I don't know. They're sour all the time now.
Commercial strawberries the last couple of decades are bred to be big and beautiful, but that's it, he said. They taste bad. I can barely eat any produce in the States.
I looked down at him. You're not from here? He turned his eyes on me, cocking an eyebrow. The U.S., I mean. Okay, yes, I assumed we were in the States, but we might not be. He turned to his task.
I was born in Turkey, he told me. My family relocated when I was 15.
So he was an immigrant. Was it hard for him, being different in school, trying to fit in? Did you assimilate quickly? I asked.
Assuming I had any ease assimilating to anything to begin with.
He joked, amusement in his eyes. I couldn't help it. I smiled. I could relate. I was the only kid in school who didn't celebrate Christmas, who didn't take part in the annual winter pageants or do Secret Santa on the swim team. But if I could have faked it, I wouldn't have. It wasn't my style to fit in. Screw 'em. Did you assimilate to her? I broached, almost whispering. The woman he talked about at the pool showers, the one made for him. He faltered and then stilled, a faraway look crossing his eyes. I swallowed, but I smiled to myself. I'd found his weak spot.
Still hearing noises? He asked, ignoring my question.
No, but I might know where they were coming from now. I glanced at the phonograph near the windows, still playing Schubert.
Why are you roaming? He asked me.
I shot him a look, an excuse lost on my tongue. But then I remembered. I saw the garden shed, I told him. I thought I'd look for tools, maybe a ladder. That panel is off its hinges. I pointed to the roof and the broken panel of glass. But he didn't look, just kept working as he cut and cleared weeds.
Come here,
he said, and held out his arm, inviting me in. I reared back a little, but then something pushed me forward. I inched in, and he circled my waist, pulling me down into his lap. I protested, trying to stand back up, but he took my hands in his and pushed them forward, palms down into the plant bed and sliding them underneath the soil. What the hell was he doing? Turning my head, I looked at him as he squeezed my wrists, keeping my hands in the dirt. What?
What do you feel?
He asked. I hesitated, speechless. What did he mean, what do I feel? Soil, I said, obviously. He cocked his head, looking unimpressed. Did he really have to hold my hands down? Sighing, I wiggled my fingers a little, indulging this as the crisp feel coated my skin. Almost like planting your face in a fresh pillow. Cool earth, I finally told him. It's soft with water, fluffy, like flour almost. I looked over at him, his nose inches from mine, thick but clean between my fingers. He released me, but I stayed there and watched him pick up a small glass pitcher, pouring water over the soil covering my hands. Ice hit my pores as the fluff turned to goo.
And now, he pressed.
Wait, I replied. It feels heavy, muddy,
sticky. I stared off, almost grossed out by it. It's suffocating, like I'm buried.
He nodded. There's not much that's bad for you, done in moderation. Some water is necessary for plants to thrive. Too much kills them.
Holding my eyes, he gripped my wrists again, pinning me to the dirt.
You want tools? He asked. To fix hinges?
I stared at him, not liking the gleam in his eyes.
You came out here to get tools for broken hinges you didn't see until you came out here.
He stared at me, the ghost of a smile crossing his face.
You can have all the tools you like, Emery, in moderation.
I swallowed the golf ball in my throat as he continued to hold my hands and my eyes. He knew I was full of shit. He knew it the moment I walked out here. Did he know about my stash? I clenched my teeth, keeping my nerves in check, but he cocked his head, eyeing me curiously.
Did you grow up with an addict? He asked.
Why?
He shrugged. I can usually spot liars fairly easily. They keep their explanations vague, fidget, break eye contact. You've had practice.
I'm not lying about why I need the tools.
You are, he retorted calmly. But that's okay. I like being played with, in moderation.
Chills spread over my skin, and my pulse kicked up a notch in my chest, but then something brushed the tip of my finger underneath the soil. I jerked. What was that? But he held me down, warning me.
I wouldn't move.
What? Something slithered over my fingers under the dirt, and I froze, unable to breathe. I pulled against his hold, but he pushed me back in as his piercing gaze pinned me, the smooth body under the soil thick and never-ending. It was long. It wasn't a worm. I gulped, whispering, "Is that a snake?"
One of them.
One of them. I darted my eyes around the plant bed, trying to spot others. There was a clear plastic wall around the garden, the panel in front of us removed so Iden could work.
Who was the addict in your family?
Huh?
Look at me, Emery,
he said. I looked up at him, worry knitting my brow. I tried to slide my hands out, but he held firm. Shit, where was Will?
Who conditioned you to lie so well?
He asked, staring into my eyes and keeping his voice calm and steady. I trailed off as the snake, or whatever it was, stopped over my hand, and I felt it shift or start to coil. Another lump lodged in my throat. Iden?
Who?
He tightened his hold on my wrists. I breathed hard. He wasn't an addict. My brother had a temper, I explained. Fuck, where was Will? Tears sprang to my eyes.
And he got physical with you?
Iden asked. A flicker of something hit my pinky, again and again. Its tongue? Oh my God, I gasped. Please, let me go.
Be still, he said. Look at me.
I darted my eyes to his again.
Like a rock, he instructed. You're part of her terrain. She won't notice you unless you want her to. Like a rock, Emery.
Iden,
don't move.
He chided again. I closed my eyes, trapped, feeling it there, unable to run. Any sudden movement and... God, get it off me, please.
It reminds you of him, doesn't it? Iden asked. Your brother.
What?
Waiting for the danger to hit, he continued, knowing it was coming.
I kept my eyes closed, trying to drown it out, but my knees started shaking, and I wanted to hit him. My arms were charged, the anger there, like before, but I couldn't do anything with it. Not yet. I couldn't move.
Unable to live, damn near wetting your pants and waiting for the inevitable as it got closer and closer to you.
Shut up. He didn't know me.
Would you get sick right before you knew he was coming home? He asked. Run to the bathroom and vomit. Maybe.
I opened my eyes, meeting his through the blur. Needles pricked my throat, remembering. The kitchen sink, I told him. It was closer than the bathroom. I was usually making dinner. He nodded, a thoughtful look in his eyes. The snake's head slid over my hand again, grinding the dirt into my skin. Is it poisonous? I asked.
Something is only poisonous if you eat it, he retorted. Organisms that bite and inject you with poison are described as venomous.
Jesus, fuck. Is it venomous, then?
They're black racers,
he pointed out, as if that meant anything to me.
What if I said it's venomous, but I have anti-venom?
Let me go.
What if I said it's not venomous, but it can bite?
I gritted my teeth, the snake's head nudging between my fingers. What the fuck? Why wasn't it moving on?
What if I said it can't bite, only constrict?
He asked instead. What are you doing?
Or maybe it's not harmful at all, he told me, but I might put some in your bed tonight. Would you fear them any less?
Aiden? I started to pull at my arms.
He barked, if you move, she'll strike.
He glared at me.
Own it, Emery. Own this moment.
What? I shook my head, my thighs tense as I got ready to bolt and fight and run, but
don't run, he told me, reading my mind. Don't cry. Don't get angry.
Just let go. No. What? The dirt shifted a few feet away, and I whimpered. Was that another one?
But he yelled, let go.
I startled, resisting the urge to curl my fingers into the dirt.
Look at me, he said. Look into my eyes.
I snapped my gaze to his. Please.
Look at me, he urged again. Hold my eyes. Don't fight. Don't rage. Don't scream. Don't give him your fear.
I panted, staring into his brown eyes, tunneling deeper into the flecks of honey and amber.
I am here, he recited. This is it, and I am not scared.
I exhaled, sucking in another breath but starting to calm.
I am not scared, he repeated. I am the eye of the storm, the calm in the madness.
I blew out a breath, drawing in another, slower,
the quiet in the chaos, the patience for my moment.
My hands started to melt into the dirt, the snake shrinking, and my heart starting to slow down. We didn't blink.
I am the eye of the storm, he murmured,
and I was transfixed.
He did not happen to you, Emery. You expected it. It was supposed to happen. It was all part of the plan. You knew it was coming.
I gazed into his eyes, his voice surrounding me like music, as cool calmness swept through my blood.
Nothing is ever a surprise, he said. Always act as if you knew it was coming the whole time. Pretend it was part of the plan. You move with the storm, Emery. Calm, quiet, patient, and then you happen to him.
My chest rose and fell in steady breaths as I whispered, I happen to him.
He may hit you again, he breathed out, but he will never hurt you. You will smile, and then
I will happen to him, I whispered. Warmth coursed over my body. A curtain lifted, and my lungs opened, steel coating my skin and knives sprouting from my nails.
The racer slithered over my finger and up to the surface of the soil, moving away into the other plants, and I looked down, seeing my palms still buried, but Aiden was no longer holding me.
When did he let go? Taking them out, I looked at him, seeing him give me a small smile.
Then he leaned over and grabbed the black snake, still fisting its body and staring at me as the reptile hissed, snapped back around, and struck the back of his hand, sinking its fangs into him.
Aiden released it, and I watched as he sucked the two red punctures into his mouth and spit the blood into the plant bed.
Like nearly all suffering, he told me, it bites, but you live.
Sweat cooled on my skin, and my head was in the clouds, a tremendous weight I thought I'd always feel, suddenly gone. Leaning in, Aiden kissed my temple, and I didn't even consider pulling away. His lips were warm and gentle, almost like a father.
You're Lilith, he whispered against my skin. You can't be burned if you're the flame.
Pulling back, he looked down into my eyes, and I didn't want to smile. He wasn't off the hook for that scare, but I walked in here with something that I was going to leave without. Everything felt stronger and lighter. How the hell did he do that?
Lilith. His words drifted through my head. Was he Jewish? She was in our folklore, Adam's first wife, and cast out of the Garden of Eden because she refused to be subservient. She was dark and light. She wasn't afraid to fall or to burn too bright. She was a flame. Something shifted off to my right, and we both turned our heads, seeing Will standing just inside the room. He wore gray sweatpants, hanging low on his hips, and nothing else, as his hair stuck up all over the place in the most adorable way. My heart instantly ached at the anger always in his eyes, but I was ready to do something about it now. His gaze shot from Aiden to me in his lap, the sharpness in his scowl suddenly turning flat, like he didn't care. He just stood there, unmoving, and I rose from the seat, remembering that night on the dance floor at homecoming. Everyone had stared at us because we didn't belong together, but we felt nothing other than the ache of the agonizing inch between us. And suddenly, Aiden wasn't even in the room.
"Mike and Rory gone hunting?" Aiden asked, leaning back in his seat.
Will nodded, refusing to look at me now.
"I told Taylor to go with them."
Aiden chuckled under his breath, looking at Will over his shoulder.
"Just the three of us, then," he mused, glancing at me. "You kids want to play in the pool?"
I gazed at Will, ignoring Aiden's thinly veiled request that I take off my clothes. But then Will spoke up.
"Just take her," he said. "I've had her."
I stared at him, the challenge clear. But while I would have mouthed off or walked out 10 minutes ago, I felt roots sprout from the bottoms of my shoes, keeping me steady. An oak, the eye of the storm. Aiden laughed to himself and rose from the chair, replacing the panel that kept the snakes confined, and ruffling my hair as he headed out of the room.
"You know where to find me," he called out, "when you're ready for the next level, Miss Scott."
He left, and Will looked at me, shaking his head. He wouldn't even stop me if I jumped on every dick in this house right now. He didn't care, because he hated me. "Nothing was going on," I told him.
"I don't care," he shot back, "and you wouldn't care if I did."
Without another word, he twisted around and walked away. My lungs constricted. "Godzilla!" I called out, taking a step forward. He stopped. Turning back around, he narrowed his hard eyes.
"What?"
I took another step, tempted to fidget or look away or shrink like it was always in my nature to do when I was scared shitless, but I kept my gaze locked on him, no matter how much it hurt. None of what's happening right now is a surprise. I knew it was coming. Handle it. I swallowed the lump in my throat. "You missed a Godzilla movie since you've been gone. King of the Monsters," I told him. "It was pretty decent, except for the plot." He remained still, eyeing me suspiciously. I took another step. He could walk out any second, but I wouldn't let him. "Stay." "Good cinematography and action sequences," I said. "You get to see Mothra, too." The sprinklers overhead sprouted to life, but I didn't look away as warm rain fell over the trees, plants, and garden, wetting my clothes. I removed my glasses, setting them on the edge of another tree bed. "I bought Milk Duds and Twizzlers," I chuckled under my breath. I don't know why, because I was on my own, and I didn't need all that candy, but I didn't eat the Milk Duds. I swallowed, staring deep into his eyes. I couldn't help but think, Will would love this. My eyes stung, but I blinked away the tears, knowing exactly why I bought the Milk Duds. They were Will's. Water cascaded down his bare chest, and I breathed steadily, unwavering no matter how hard my heart pounded. "I kept wondering what you'd say about the movie," I told him, "and what you'd like about it." His eyes stayed on mine as I inched forward, water dripping down his mouth and glistening on his skin. "Please stay." His Adam's apple bobbed up and down the closer I got, and he dropped his eyes, breathing harder.
"Mothra," he murmured.
"And King Ghidorah, too," I nodded. "All the Titans. The visual effects were amazing." Stepping up to him, I stopped as my shirt grazed his chest. Heat pooled in my belly, feeling him so close. "They're releasing Godzilla vs. Kong soon," I told him, kicking off my shoes. His chest rose and fell in front of me, and I gazed at all the skin my fingers hummed to touch. I balled my fists.
"They're both heroes," he replied. "The ending will be ambiguous, Emery."
"No." I shook my head, pulling my shirt off and dropping it to the ground. "The directors have stated there will be a clear winner." He stared at my body, his breathing growing ragged.
What the fuck? He griped. Fucking writers.
My clit throbbed, and I stared at his mouth, damn near tasting him and wanting to climb him so damn bad. So it'll be Kong? I stated, unbuttoning Rory's pants around my waist. It's more hopeful for the underdog to win. He watched me, unblinking.
Japan will ban the film if Godzilla doesn't win.
I guess he could win, I told him, dropping the pants to the floor as rain hit my breasts, arms, and back. With Godzilla's arsenal and the fact that he can fight on land and at sea.
And in the comic books, he battles God and the devil for crying out loud, he said. What the hell's Kong ever done?
I leaned up on my tiptoes, our lips inches from each other. Godzilla now also emits an omnidirectional blast.
He does?
I nodded. He missed it. Running my fingertips up his chest, I tried to swallow, but my mouth was too dry.
Told you, he said. How's Kong going to survive a molecular-level attack?
I pressed my body to his, my hard little nipples aching against his heat. He shook a little underneath my hands, and I couldn't take it anymore. I curled my fists again, my body boiling, and I didn't care that I wanted to squeeze the life out of him half the time. I wanted in his bed. But I wasn't asking for anything. I was taking it. My heart damn near in my throat, I pushed him down into the chair to my left and hovered over his lips as I slid my hand up his chest. He laughed, gripping the arms of the chair.
You want it? He taunted. You're not getting it.
I grazed my lips across his cheek, over his jaw, and down his neck. The hunger making my clit throb so hard, I had to hold back a whimper as the rain fell all over my naked body. You don't have to do a thing, I whispered over his skin. In fact, I slid my hand inside his pants and dived for his cock, fisting the hard muscle. He gasped, his eyes going wide. You don't even have to move, I told him, pumping him slow and tight. Stay right here, because I'm going to drain you dry. I squeezed his neck, gentle but possessive, before sliding to my knees and drawing my claws down his chest and then his thighs. He was mine. Straightening my back, I felt his eyes on my breasts as I untied the drawstring and pulled down his pants, just enough so I could take him out. Water sprayed my hair, my chest, his stomach, and his face as he stared down at me, a cross between anger and excitement in his eyes. But he wasn't stopping me. Fisting his cock, I stroked it as I kissed and licked his stomach, running my free hand around his waist, over his back, and up his chest. I nibbled and bit, dragging his skin out with my teeth before sucking it into my mouth, his body caving under me with every breath.
Fuck,
he whispered, groaning. Coming back down, I cast him a quick look, seeing his white knuckles as he gripped the arms of the chair. Holding his eyes, I moved the head of his dick to the opening of my mouth, not slipping it in just yet as I teased him. I flicked my tongue, tasting his heat as his eyes softened and need flashed across his face.
Emmy,
he panted, and my heart started to shatter, hearing a younger, happier Will Grayson begging me to let him hold me again. I closed my eyes and slid him into my mouth, pushing my lips down his shaft until the tip touched the back of my throat. He sucked in air through his teeth, his fingers sliding into my hair and holding my head as he moaned. I held him there, relaxing my throat and trying to take him all in, but I was hungry, and I wanted to suck. Moving up and down, I drew him out slow and then glided my mouth back down his cock, taking him again. His fingers fisted my hair, the hard muscle in my mouth getting stiffer. I dragged my tongue up and down his shaft, licking the veins under his skin and sucking the sweet drip off his tip. He growled, glaring down at me.
Taking advantage of a man who's been in prison is low, really low.
You're not at Black Church, I whispered, kissing the length of his cock. We're at the lock-in, and we snuck off so I could kiss you. Down here. He groaned, letting his head fall back and his eyes close. The fantasy hopefully taking over. Taking him back before I hurt him. Before he hurt me. Before all the shit and all the years.
I moved faster, sucking him harder and tighter, whimpering at his size, trying to push down my throat as his hips started thrusting up to meet me. "Will," I begged, the slickness between my legs growing. Slipping a hand between my legs, I swirled the wetness around my clit, throbbing and aching for him as I brought my fingers back out. I swirled my wet fingers around his tip, watching him watch me and holding his eyes as I sucked him back into my mouth and licked myself off of him. His piercing eyes caught fire as I licked off the water and covered him in warmth. But suddenly, he grabbed my arms and pulled me up. "What?" He glared into my eyes for a moment before he spun me around and planted me in his lap. He wrapped an arm around me, breathing into my neck and holding me close.
"What else are we gonna do?" he panted, "before a teacher comes."
His dick pressed into my ass, and he grabbed my pussy, sticking a finger deep inside, and then two. I gasped as he cupped my breast, sliding my nipple in and out between his fingers.
"Huh, little Emmy?"
he taunted. I closed my eyes, the water raining down on us in the hothouse, as I pictured all the fun we could have had if I'd just dived in all those years ago. God, I wanted him. Fuck. Pulling away, I stood up and faced him, watching him stroke his cock and look at me. I didn't wait another second. I climbed on top of him, crashing my mouth to his and straddling him as I ate up his lips and clutched his throat. "Mine." He jerked his mouth away, smirking like the cat that ate the canary, but I didn't care, because I wanted to give him this. He positioned himself under me, crowning my entrance, and I whimpered already at the anticipation as I nibbled his jaw. I slid down, burying him inside me. I stretched and gasped, and he hit deep before I raised back up, coating him in my wetness before sliding back down on him and sheathing him to the hilt.
"Ugh,"
he groaned, squeezing my ass in both hands. I stilled, staying there and feeling the stretch and fullness. I kissed his cheek, watching his face and his closed eyes as he let me trail my mouth over his temple and his forehead and to the corner of his lips, leaving little kisses. Sliding my hand through his hair, I dipped down to his neck, tasting the water on his hot skin as tingles spread everywhere at the memory of his smell. Sitting back, I stared at him as I started to move slowly, arching my back and rolling my hips. I slid him out and thrust back onto him, fucking him slowly at first. He opened his eyes and gripped my hips, his eyes trailing all over as he watched my body move on top of him. Diving forward, he sucked my breast into his mouth, and I dug my nails into his shoulders, letting my head fall back as the wave of euphoria coursed over me.
"You fucked me up,"
he growled, pulling my nipple through his teeth. "And you fucked up," I argued, tipping my head back up, the water running down my face as he nibbled one breast and moved on to the other. Part of all this shit was my fault, but not all of it. I rolled my hips again and again, my breathing getting shallower as the pleasure built. "I want to kiss you," I whispered, "on the lips."
"Yeah?"
"Yeah."
"Why?"
he teased. I panted, leaning back up and bouncing up and down on him as I held him close. "Because," I whispered over his mouth, "because I want to be your girl." He circled my waist with both arms like a steel band, stopping me.
"And you remember what that means?"
I gazed down at him, trying to hide my smile as I remembered everything he wanted. Me, coming home to him every night. Me, at his table and warming his bed. Me, making him a daddy. I nodded.
"Say it,"
he ordered. I swallowed, the excitement coursing through my veins as I whispered, "It means you come inside me." We didn't have condoms here. He grinned and stood up, taking me with him as he walked to the tree bed behind us, dropped down, and pushed me onto the soil. Rising back up, he flipped me over, and I gasped, whimpering as realization dawned. I moaned, my clit pulsing like a jackhammer as he came down on my ass, forced my knee out, and thrust back inside my pussy, going at me hard and fast. "Will?" I cried. He wrapped a hand around my neck and whispered against my cheek.
"Say it again."
He hit me deep, in and out, again and again, and I squeezed my eyes shut, taking it.
It means you come inside me.
You want that?
Yeah. The soil ground into my body, and finally he twisted my head toward him, sinking his mouth into mine and kissing me deep, stealing my breath away. His tongue dipped in and made my heart sink down to my toes. I whimpered.
My little M, he breathed out, slipping a hand underneath me and palming my tit. My little M likes her little secrets, little nerd by day, who likes it a little hard at night.
Yeah, I chanted. Yes. My pussy tightened and constricted, and I pressed my hands into the soil, backing up into him, craving it. My hair stuck to my back as I arched it, and all I could think about was all the time we'd lost in high school, of how this was it, and I should have known it. I should have snuck out with him and done this with him every single chance we got, because there was nothing that I was protecting myself from that wasn't already happening at home. I shouldn't have let the fear stop me. The orgasm started to build, and I cried out as he thrust his cock inside me again and again, fucking me on the dirt and every inch of my skin, feeling all of this. He grunted, and I could tell he was getting close.
Say it again,
he said. Come inside me, I whimpered, feeling it coming. Oh, God.
Again.
Come inside me, Will, I begged. Please. He bottomed out, and I exploded, the orgasm shaking my entire body as the world spun under me, and he thrust again and again, harder and harder, finally spilling inside of me as he squeezed my breast and moaned. I cried out, every muscle burning. The orgasm racked through me, my pussy squeezing around his cock, and he flipped over, collapsing onto the ground next to me.
Fuck.
He panted. I closed my eyes, lying my head down and unable to swallow because my mouth was so dry. I really hoped the snakes were confined to the garden and not here, but I couldn't muster a muscle to care. Iden probably watched us from somewhere, too. The guys could have come back early for whatever reason, but I didn't give a shit. I wanted a shower, and I wanted sleep, and I wanted both of them with Will. But without another touch or kiss, he rose from the dirt and pulled up his soaked sweats, tying them closed. I turned over and sat up, watching him as he walked over and retrieved my drenched clothes from the floor. He tossed them to me.
Go piss, he said, and hurry up.
I sat there, my eyes narrowing but my chin trembling a little. I clenched my jaw to stop it. The eye of the storm. I forced the lump down my throat. That's an old wives' tale, I told him, rising and starting to dress. I'm on the shot, so don't worry. Asshole. Not that I was ready for any kids right now anyway, but he wasn't telling me that because he didn't want them. He was telling me that because he didn't want them with me. It was just sex talk. I swallowed through the needles in my throat, not looking up again until he'd walked out, leaving me in the wet dirt alone. I rose to my feet and pulled on my glasses, cut off pants and t-shirt, and then I picked up my shoes and carried them through the quiet house and back up to my bedroom. I secured the door, lost in my head as I showered and washed the dirt from my hair, still feeling him inside me. I'd show him. I was strong, and I wouldn't beg for anything. I'd get out of here and live and keep my damn chin up. The calm in the madness, the quiet in the chaos, the patience for my moment. I dried my hair and wrapped the towel around me, heading into my dark bedroom and collapsing onto the bed. I closed my eyes, hearing the rain outside and trying to concentrate on the next step of my escape plan. A little more food, a hoodie, and I still needed some kind of tool from the shed. It would make a good weapon, too, if needed. A draft hit me, and I rubbed my eyes with my fingers, so tired all of a sudden. But I couldn't go to sleep. Opening my eyes, I spotted a dark form looming at the side of my bed, and I sucked in a quick breath. What the hell? But before I could shoot up and away, she spoke. You let them watch while he ate you out last night? She asked. And then the lamp on the nightstand turned on, and I looked up at her, hair a little shorter than the last time I'd seen her, and dressed like a cat burglar, complete with a black beanie on her head. Girl, she cooed, smiling with approval. I knew you had it in you.
I stopped breathing, my eyes going wide. Alex? She threw up her hands, striking a pose, and I popped up, grabbed her, and pulled her into a hug as we collapsed back to the bed. Oh my God, what are you doing here? I cried. She clamped a hand over my mouth, quieting me as she shook with a laugh. Missed you too, little stick, she whispered. My body shook with a quiet laugh, and I squeezed her so tight, she grunted.
Chapter 20. Will. 9 years ago. She stopped and looked around as I took the key from her and unlocked her back door. It was after 1 in the morning, and I hurriedly twisted the handle and pulled her in from the rain. It's okay, I assured her. The coast is clear. He's still at work. I closed the door, locked it, and knelt down, slipping her heels off her feet. Taking her hand, I pulled her toward the stairs. We really need to stand up to him sometime. She leaned her head on my arm, yawning. He's scary, she said. I shook my head, sweeping her into my arms and carrying her up the stairs. He's a joke. I hugged her close as she wrapped her arms around my neck. I'm your man now. He'll have to get through me. She just let out a single chuckle into the crook of my neck, but didn't say more. I wasn't trying to be funny. Paige? Someone called. I froze, the weight of my footsteps halting the creaking on the floorboards. Emmy popped her head up and shifted out of my arms, hurrying into her grandmother's room.
Yes, Grandmère.
I hung back, not wanting Em to have to face questions about why she was with me so late.
Where is your father?
Her grandma asked. I heard Em walk around the room, pour some water, and shuffle blankets. Her father? But Emmy answered, not missing a beat.
He had to go back to the flower shop. He got you yellow flowers, and he knows better.
Red flowers.
Her grandmother's raspy voice held a hint of humor.
How could he forget?
Go to sleep, Em cooed. When you wake up, they'll be here.
Emery walked back into the hallway, yawning again as she pulled the door closed, only leaving it open a crack.
Love you, sweetie,
her grandmother called.
Love you, too.
She gazed up at me in the dark hallway and took my hand, lying her head on my chest. She was fucking exhausted. I led her to her room. Your father? I inquired. Adam Scott died with her mother years ago, caught in their car when the river flooded during Hurricane Frederick that hit us head on about 5 years ago. But Emmy clarified,
My grandfather, her husband. She thinks I'm my mother sometimes.
I nodded once, not really knowing what to say to that. It was a lot for a high schooler to deal with. In this moment, I was grateful she spared me any time, considering the bigger things she had on her plate. I was too hard on her. We entered her room, and I turned on the lights. But she protested.
No, leave them off.
She made her way for her bed.
I'm so tired.
She crashed down, not even bothering to undress, and I flipped the switch off again, the room going dark.
But I don't want to sleep either, she said, yawning again. Because when the night's over, it ends. No more fun.
I walked over, unable to keep the smile off my lips. Nothing is ending. I pulled at her comforter and then the blankets, working them out from underneath her to cover her up. It wasn't just fun to me, Emmy. Don't you know that? I stared down at her as she turned on her side, and I covered her up. We weren't done. I needed more. You still don't trust me? I asked. She remained still and quiet, refusing to look at me. Was she asleep already? But then I heard her speak.
Part of me wishes I could have you, she said. Part of me wishes you were my man.
I heard her swallow, and then she sighed.
Everything will be real tomorrow, she told me. As if that explained everything. Walking over to her window, I closed her drapes. Someday you'll be big and powerful, she continued. I turned to see her sitting up in bed and punching the pillows behind her, trying to get them to the right fluffiness. Like I am now, I teased. And stunning in a three-piece suit with fabulous hair, she went on, thinking out loud like I wasn't even here. I look better wet. And everyone will love you. She plopped back onto her pillows, lying on her back. They already do. And you'll be the life of the party. I walked over, straightening her blankets and biting back my smile. Mm-hmm. With little magazine cover looking children. My sperm will be the stuff of legends, I joked. And married? Several times, I'm sure. And to all blondes. My body shook with a laugh as I leaned over her, smelling her and me on her skin, and dying to crawl into this bed with her. But she was done for the night. And the only time you'll notice I'm alive, she went on, is when you sign the checks, paying my dog walking service for taking care of your labradoodles every week. Like a busy, important, fabulous god like me would be bothered with such tasks, I retorted. My 18-year-old former Playboy bunny wife, Heidi, will sign those checks. A snarl flashed on her mouth, and I snorted. You're going to remember this, Will Grayson, she said, sounding all tough. I blew your mind tonight, even for just a minute. She turned over, giving me her back, and I smiled, smoothing the hair off her face and neck. You've been blowing my mind for forever. Now get out of here, she said, nudging me playfully and closing her eyes. I stared down at her, the shadows of the trees outside dancing across her back, and my body hummed, wanting more of her. She was incredible, and I hated that no one saw how beautiful she was except me. I'd been dying in that bus and fucking happy for it. Her body moved in slow, steady breath.